So raise your hand, star two, if you have any questions. And if you don't have any questions, then we're done. But questions would be great. If you have any questions, type them in. And I'm looking to see. I'd love to ask a question. How was this? Was this over the top? Was it good? Did it clear up some concerns and questions you had? I'd love to hear back from you. So you can type it into the chat or raise your hand. So star two raises your hand. Does this mean I did an awesome job and you're no questions? Wow. Okay, so Lynn. And by the way, Lynn was a big piece of helping me put this together. So thank you, Lynn. Hey, Lynn.
Hi. I have a question. You had mentioned B12 and heart palpitations. Could you speak a little bit more to that?
As far as the mechanism?
Yes. Because there's lots of things that could, I'm thinking if I'm talking to somebody and they start saying I'm having these things happening, and one of the things is they have B12, or excuse me, heart palpitations.
You want to be able to differentiate that from other things that can cause it, because it could be caused by hyperthyroidism. It could be caused by anxiety.
Right.
There's a number of things. My guess is that it's related to the neurologic, because the heart and the nervous system are so connected that it's impacting that normal transmission of the signals back and forth between the heart and the brain, and they're regulating the heart rate. But I don't know the specific, like I can't talk to a particular pathway or how that works.
I was just trying to make sure I understood that I would know when to differentiate.
So how to differentiate? That's a great question that I can answer. So you've got somebody and they have heart palpitations, right? You're asking them about when these heart palpitations occur. You find out that they have anxiety attacks. Like most likely that's related to anxiety. It might be a neurotransmitter thing. But you don't want to ever rule something out unless you rule it out, right? If you have a symptom like palpitations and there's five different things, say, that can cause palpitations, you want to make sure that you have a very specific method of ruling them out. So you do an MMA. The MMA comes back fine. It's probably not the B12, right? You look at the thyroid. You do a thyroid function panel. And if their thyroid levels are not too high, unlikely to be hyperthyroidism that's causing it. You know, you can look at like an organic acid test if you wanted to, and you can look at that whole section on serotonin and dopamine and all, and the neurotransmitter section to see if it's a neurotransmitter issue. Because a lot of times palpitations are just related to a panic attack, like all of a sudden somebody's getting panicked. So, yeah, there's a number of things, and there's that whole process of differential assessment is tricky, right? Because there's a lot of stuff, and so you think about it. So you look at their MCV, you look at their MMA, you look at their homocysteine to see if there's a chance, and you look for other signs, right? Are you fatigued all the time? How's your mental function? Are you having problems with focusing? That sort of thing. So a lot of times that differentiation is lab and symptoms, the two of those. So you try to piece it together and come down. And sometimes they're superimposed things. They may have B12 deficiency and hyperthyroidism.
And then how would it relate to B12, or not B12, blood sugar?
Well, blood sugar, when your blood sugar gets too low generally, or you have high blood sugar but it's not getting into the cells, you can have heart palpitations. Yeah.
Okay. That was part of it that I was wondering too. All right. Great.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Yeah. Sure.
Thank you.
No worries. You're welcome. All right. Anybody else? Tony always has good questions. Any questions, Tony? There's a very small turnout on today's call, so there's plenty of room for questions. Tony. Unmute yourself.
Thank you for reminding me to unmute myself. Yikes, I do this enough, you'd think I'd be a pro at it. I would like to make a comment because I learned so much with this. You may or may not recall, I have a client that had a very severe car accident. He lost the battle with the car on a bike, and he has nerve damage in his foot, so I've recommended lion's mane. And I believe lion's mane is effective because maybe it contains some B12, but what I'm understanding is that that source or that form may not be effective and may not actually.
I wouldn't rely on it. It might be good,
okay.
And it's good to give some of these herbs, but I wouldn't really rely on it. I mean, if you do it in a very scientific, systematic way. So check their B12, their MMA, give them these herbs, and then see what happens. But if it's not budging, I mean, you know, I'm a staunch vegan. I'm not, you know, I'm like, I don't like to take supplements as much as I can. I try to avoid it. But with the B12, I mean, even from the time my kids were born, it's like, I'm not messing with this. I'm not going to trust this because B12 deficiency is really serious. With other nutrients, not as serious, and also a lot of other ways to get it. But the B12 deficiency is serious enough that I'm not willing to mess with it. You know, like I said, I still take mine. I don't take it every day, but I take it periodically. And I have, you know, some of those mutations that say I should take it, but, you know. And let me tell you another story about that, though. Mm-hmm. I had a family, and the parents were vegan for about 20 years. They had a daughter who was like 5 or 6, and they had not taken any supplements. They were the, you know, the real strict, nobody needs supplements, don't ever take supplements, staunch vegans. And they did that for about 20 years. And I don't remember why they decided to test it. I think they were suspicious that the daughter might have had a B12 deficiency. So they decided, all three of them, to get the MMA done. And when the MMA came back, the daughter was about a 7. And the parents, who hadn't taken B12 their whole, like for 20 years, they were at like, one was at a 3.6 and the other was like a 4. They were very close to being normal. But the daughter was up at a 7. So I'm not sure what to make of that. It's like, well, she probably didn't have adequate B12 while she was pregnant. They had sores from before they, that's kind of a long time though, before they got off of meat. But, you know, you never really know what the situation is. And so they started supplementing, at least the daughter, and themselves too, I think.
Well, I appreciate that information. He's also a long-term vegetarian. He's a yoga teacher, and I know that he's been in his 50s, and I know he's been vegetarian for probably close to about 30 years. So, so this gives me another angle to look at to make sure that we can repair with that myelin sheath. That's what the nerve damage is, that sheath.
Yeah, and you see, you need more of it if you've got some of the conditions that B12 is good for, right? So there's an accident, there's some nerve damage. More the merrier. Get that B12 in them.
Absolutely.
Right? Tell them it's just a therapeutic. It's like a pharmaceutical, but not. But because whatever you're taking from food may be enough to be adequate. You know, chances are, it's okay, right? But it's not going to be adequate when you have this extra load on the system that requires that particular nutrient for repair.
I don't think he's going to give me an argument. Everything that I recommended, he's done it. So this will be fine.
Good. Simple. So get him a little B12. You know, Perk makes a good hydroxy, which is a sublingual. I've been using that a lot when I don't know the person's genetics. I'll at least start with that because it's easily converted into methyl and adenosyl in the body. You can get a liquid. The liposomals are great. From Seeking Health has a liquid, the liposomal, and you can control the dosage. So that's what I love about the liquids and the liposomals, because one drop is probably 100 micrograms, right?
Yeah.
So you can very delicately control it until you get to the point where they don't really need that much. So,
thank you.
You're so welcome. Anybody else? Laura, did you have any questions? Mary, did you have any questions? We'll look to see if anybody typed them in. Tony said it was great. Yay. Yay, I'm glad. The initial presentation that I put together for this was kind of, it didn't have as much detail, and I went in and I, you know, put up more pictures and stuff because I thought it would be more helpful. I didn't realize it was going to take almost an hour and a half to present. So I appreciate you guys being here and listening. I was hoping today to have two other vitamins, and we're almost done with them, but life got really hectic around here, especially with the websites being a little wonky. So we didn't get to finish them, but I will do them next week because I'm really close. And I really want to get through these B vitamins and finish it up. But like I said, I thought when I created this micronutrients module that it would just, you know, I'd go through and talk to you a little bit about this stuff. But the more we dug in, the more I realized it's really helpful for you to have a resource that's really chock full. And it just doesn't say, oh, let's talk about B12 today. Here are the symptoms of B12 deficiency. Here's how to test it. Here's, you know, what foods contain it. Okay, bye. Let's talk about folate now. That's very superficial. That's nothing beyond which you can't just do a Google search and find. But and you can find everything in my presentation in a Google search. But you know how many hours it'll take you? I'll tell you how many hours it took me to put this together, you know, and how many hours Lynn spent doing some of the research, too. So between us, we probably spent maybe 10 or 12 hours pulling all this research together between our books, between the internet. So you get to listen to it for an hour and a half instead, and that's what I wanted for you. I wanted you to kind of get a grasp of the biochemistry so you see not just, oh, what's megaloblastic anemia? That's caused by B12 or folate deficiency. But if you understand what it is and why and how it interacts with the DNA, you go, oh, I understand this better. You may not be able to recite this. I can't recite all of this biochemistry. I have to look at it and go, oh, yeah, that's right. I remember. You saw I had to stop and pause a couple of times as I was presenting this, like just thinking it through and going, oh, yeah, right? Because it's not something you use and say every day, but it's good to understand it. It's really super good to understand it. Tony, unmute.
Hi.
Yeah.
Oh, here I go. Okay, so I also wanted to just thank you for reinforce so many things that you always talk about when my clients always want to take vitamins and minerals in like their own independent form without understanding that there's a synthesis that goes on and that right. You just can't take a B12 and be done with it if other things aren't being done, and how important reinforcing how important digestion is, and that impaired digestion, even starting in the stomach, can really impact a person's health and ability to absorb these vital nutrients. So thank you for that reinforcement, and I will keep going back to that to learn it, listening to it over and over again until I get it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And you know the thing about that, what you just said about not knowing what you're doing. So somebody reads about MTHFR, and they go to their doctor, and they have themselves tested, and they find out that they have an MTHFR deficiency or mutation, sorry, SNP. And then they go, wow, okay, I'm going to take methylfolate. And they just grab a supplement that has 1,000 micrograms, 2,000 micrograms, whatever some of them have, and they start taking methylfolate. What they're doing is if they have a B12 deficiency, they're masking it, right? So it's dangerous to take folate without B12.
Thanks.
And a lot of the docs that are like hearing about this MTHFR, they run and test it, they don't know enough about this. They don't know enough about all the interactions. I mean, there's a lot to know, and I don't know it all. Nobody knows it all. But there's a lot to know in those pathways and how you can hurt somebody. Like this one person who was taking 5,000 micrograms of vitamin B12 methyl form. She should be getting better. She should be getting better. Why isn't she getting better? And then what we didn't realize was what she didn't realize was because her neurologic symptoms were gradually progressive, she didn't associate it with the B12. Until she stopped it and went on the other form. And then suddenly the neurologic symptoms got better. And it happened a second time. Because, like I said, I think I mentioned this earlier, but her acupuncturist said, oh, you need it. And she says, well, I had a problem with methyl before. No, you're fine. Well, you need it. You have this MTHFR and MTRR and all. You have to take it. So she tried it. And she didn't realize because it was slowly developing. And I said to her when she showed me, I went, you can't take the methyl B12. You got to start slow if you're going to increase it. You can't just take 5,000 or 2,000 of the methyl B12. So she understood. She stopped it. Or she dropped off of it. She still has some in a multi. But the multi's useless, right? If it's just a multi B, if you've got any stomach impairment, That B12 isn't going to get absorbed anyway, so why bother, right? Because with all this other stuff going on, she likely has problems with the stomach. So she dropped off of that sublingual and the other, the more intense B12 that she was asked to take. And she says, oh, wow, I didn't realize I'm no longer agitated. I'm no longer irritable. I'm no longer anxious. So she just associated her irritability and anxiousness with, you know, just being frustrated with all these issues that are going on for her. But it wasn't. It was the B12, and I could hear the difference in her voice when I spoke to her recently. So you just have to watch it. And that really helping people to see the importance of tracking. Like, when did you start this? That's why I have that column in the supplement. Like, when did you start it? When did you stop it? And also associating that, being the detective that can associate the food intake, the exposure intake. Did they go stay at a moldy hotel room? Right? There's all these little things that can create symptoms, but they don't create immediate. It's not like eat strawberries, get hives. We know, don't eat strawberries anymore, right? Easy. But it's these subtle things that stress out the system. But if you have them track it, you can oftentimes go back and say, oh, my goodness, these symptoms started about 3 days after you were doing this, that, or the other thing. So be the detective. Be really diligent. Not everybody wants to take the time to take those things. Not everybody has to. But if somebody's not making the progress you think they should, or they at the faster rate as they want to, then you really have them go back and you have them track.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for what you do. I mean, I appreciate the time and effort you put into this, and I appreciate you so much. You too, Lynn. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You can tell I'm passionate about it.
Yes. I love that passion.
Thanks, Tony.
You're welcome.
Okay, so if nobody else has anything, we're going to be done for now. Like I said, we were planning to do more, but my time got crazy and I ended up not. I did get one of those organic acid tests back yesterday, and that took me a long time because I had to meet with the person to analyze it. So I had it back, and I told her as soon as it came back, I would talk to her about it. So those we'll have a whole module on that. We'll how to interpret those organic acid tests. And at Shine, I'm pretty sure we will be able to get somebody from Great Plains to come in and actually, you know, go through that analysis with that, because it's an amazing test. And I just found so many things in that test that were so congruent with the kind of symptoms that this person is showing. It just really aligned well. And plus some surprises like, oh, she's low in vitamin B2. I didn't realize she was low in vitamin B2. Okay, cool. So good stuff. So I'll open up your lines so you can all say goodbye to each other. And I will talk to you. We'll have another one of these next week. And then we'll finish up as many of the B vitamins as we can. But I appreciate your patience, and I appreciate that you appreciate that I'm doing them more thoroughly. I could spit them all out, you know, in a half a day and get all of them done. But I really want them to be like chock full of great information. So thanks a lot, everybody. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye. Thanks so much.
Bye.
You're welcome.